morning is from Luke, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 30. Luke 1, beginning at verse 30, it's page 855 if you're using that blue pew Bible there. And the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Yahushua, Yahweh saved. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered at the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And now, Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1, it's page 575. Stay in this passage, because this is where I will be speaking from this morning, Isaiah 11. "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast
the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon notes are on the back of your worship guide. And we've been talking primarily about Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, and also the third verse in the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, as we work our way through that carol, that Advent carol. We'll be looking at the third verse. Some of you may not know this, but some of you do. About 5 years ago, Alan and Vicki Way's son Joshua did an Eagle Project here at church. Some of you will remember because you were intimate with the mud and the dirt like I was as they're digging holes. The goal was to plant trees in that back parking lot. So if you go out there and look, all those trees and all those islands are part of that Eagle Project. What's interesting is if you go out the back double glass doors, does everybody know what I'm talking about? The back glass doors. There's an island right outside the awning, the big island, and there's a tree there. That is not the tree Joshua planted. The tree that Joshua planted died about a year after he planted it. I had to take it down. A poor baby tree. I snapped the thing. It was broken. It was dead. And then one day I noticed a shoot coming out of the ground right where those roots were. And so the tree you see out there now is the sprout from the roots of Joshua's tree. Keep that picture in mind because that explains a lot of verse 1 here in Isaiah 11. Just keep it in mind for a moment. Today, my friends, we come at the major scripture that is behind the third verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. And as we sing and reflect on this verse, we clearly see how it really does bleed Bible and glisten gospel. And the main passage that is driving this verse in the carol is Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, where we hear, here's your three points, where we hear of the Spirit of Christ, the justice of Christ, and the new creation of Christ. Let's begin then with verses 1 through the very first part of verse 3, the Spirit of Christ. Notice how this passage begins. The promise here is that there would be one who would rise up, who would come one day as a second David. Here's how the verse reads. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. The Old King James Version says, there shall come forth a rod from the stump of Jesse, ergo our carol. Come, thou rod of Jesse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. It's intriguing that the tree is gone at this point in the picture of verse 1. The tree is gone. And so David's line is dwindling. It looks like to all appearances it's gone. And here comes a shoot out of Jesse's root. Therefore, there comes a second David. That's the point of the whole thing. And think here as you read verse 1 of Joshua Way's Eagle Project. It will be helpful in seeing what's happening in these verses. And so this special one, this long-awaited one, will have the Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. Look at verse 2. The Spirit will come upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This special one, this long-awaited one, has the Spirit resting upon him. And then the very first part of verse 3, the Spirit is the one who then is enabling the second David to fulfill his call and his mission. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Interesting, our New Testament reading from the Gospel according to Luke, right there at the very beginning in verses 30 through 35, right there, the angel says to Mary, this one that you're going to bear is going to be a second David. He's going to sit on David's throne. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. But then the angel goes on and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Notice how the Holy Spirit, as promised in Isaiah 11, is even involved in coming upon Jesus in the conception. And then, When Jesus begins his ministry in earnest, as Justin read for us in our call to worship from Luke chapter 4, Jesus pulls out the scroll of Isaiah and reads Isaiah 61, which reads this way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And after he rolls the scroll up and hands it back, he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Therefore, dear friends, this Spirit is on Christ, and if you and I are united to Christ, then the very same Spirit that is on Christ fills us. And His Spirit then becomes our resource for things like wisdom and understanding, counsel and might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny." The rod of Jesse, the shoot that rose from his stump, that branch rises up from his fruits. And notice in verse 1 again, it says it will bear fruit. And so that rod of Jesse grows up and bears fruit. It buds and blossoms with particular fruit. And that's the rest of verse 3 all the way to verse 10. And the two fruit specifically are the justice of Christ and the new creation of Christ. It buds and blossoms with two fruit, the justice of Christ and the new creation of Christ. Let's examine these fruit then. Verses 3 through 5. Notice right up front, "He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear." No hoodwinking this one. No pulling the wool over his eyes. "He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear." Have you ever done that before? Have you ever had someone come blustering into you and they whine and they're weeping and they tell you this horrible situation that they've experienced and how bad that person over there is, and look what they did to me, and you become all chivalrous and you rise up to their defense. And about halfway through the battle charge, the other person speaks and someone else speaks, and then you realize, oh my goodness, I've been taken to the cleaners. That never happened to anybody else? Okay, well, it happens to me. I've had it happen more than once. But notice that this one who rises from the stump of Jesse, this rod of Jesse, will not be hoodwinked and will not have the wool pulled over his eyes. Notice as we go through the rest of these verses what that means. First off, in verse 4, he will not be fooled by the poor, nor will he be fooled about the poor. "He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." He's not going to be fooled by the poor or about the poor. We heard some of that in the reading of the law, that you're not to pervert justice against the poor, but also God says you're not to pervert justice for the poor, right? And poor folk are just as sinful as you and I are, and so they lie and cheat and steal like maybe we can be prone to do, and so they're not perfect, and we can be easily deceived. But notice this one. He will not be hoodwinked or have the wool pulled over his eyes. He will not be fooled by the poor, nor will he be fooled about the poor. But in fact, he will show proper care and proper fairness for the truly poor and the genuinely meek of the earth. This rod of Jesse even said these words in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But then, right in the middle of verse 4, notice that this rod of Jesse is pictured, and it's Revelation in a nutshell. I'm just telling you, it's the book of Revelation in a nutshell. "He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Revelation 19, you see him riding on his horse, all clothed in white, with his name written on his side, Word of God. And out of his mouth protrudes a two-edged sword as he treads out the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. But then this rod of Jesse also, notice, is accustomed to moral integrity and steadfast loyalty to such a degree that it will look as if he is clothed with it. Verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And so it's no surprise as we listen to Mary singing about the conception of Jesus and what God is doing there, that Mary's song of praise in Luke 1, 46-55, notice it wraps up justice and righteousness like swaddling cloths around the coming of Jesus. Lord, in this act, what are you doing? You are humbling the proud and the arrogant and the wealthy, and you are exalting the humble and the hungry and the powerless. Notice that. Righteousness and justice wrapped like swaddling cloths around the coming of Jesus. I love the way it's put in a hymn that I have no clue how to sing. I don't have any clue how to sing this. I don't know the tune for the life of me, but it's an Isaac Watts hymn. And this is a great line. Here's how Isaac Watts puts it. He fills the poor with good. He gives the sufferers rest. The Lord has judgment for the proud and justice for the oppressed. Therefore, my friends, the embodiment of the eternal Son of God as that embryo in Mary's womb, and the embodiment of the eternal Son of God in His birth and in His holy life and in His teaching and His crucifixion for our transgressions, in His resurrection for our justification, His ascension and His enthronement, nails down and opens up for us hope. Hope that death is not the final word, but also hope that evil is not the last statement, and hope that desperation is not our definitive demise. And so rightly we sing, O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. So being united to Jesus, the rod of Jesse, by the Holy Spirit, through faith, does something with us. It makes us part of His concern for justice and righteousness. Being united to Christ in this way, this Jesus who is just and righteous, makes us now part of His concern for righteousness and justice in a world where people are being sexually beaten up, physically violated, economically trounced, and racially desecrated. And so we sing in our knees and in prayer, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. But the other fruit that is budding and blossoming on this rod of Jesse is not only the justice of Christ, but the new creation of Christ. So hear me clearly, that the justice of Christ and the new creation of Christ must go together. And so the new creation of Christ, verses 6 through 10. Alec Motier was a Reformed Anglican writer in England, wrote an awesome commentary on Isaiah, and he says this about Isaiah 11, 6-10. It's very simple, very sweet. Listen, quote, first the Messiah buds forth, and then through him, new life for people becomes possible on a worldwide scale, and the life of nature itself, the life of nature itself is transformed. End of quotation. Notice here, beginning at verse 6, in a very picturesque way, the prophet shows us how the one that we are praying to comes and he brings reconciliation and resolution. Reconciliation, resolution to old, deeply embedded hostilities. Verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Yes, that may very well literally happen. That may be part of a point, but it's not all that will happen. It's a picture of what this one is doing and what he will do ultimately. He will take those who have been at odds with one another for all kinds of reasons, and he will take us and make us so new that now that oddity, that anomaly, that ripped relationship can be healed and restored. In fact, the scenic presentation goes even further and shows how the new creation brought by the rod of Jesse changes the nature, the old natural fiercenesses from within, turning carnivores into something new, herbivores. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. A completely new nature that turns us on our heads in all of our devouring actions. And all of this is pointing us back to Eden. And it is pointing us simultaneously forward to the new Eden, at the regeneration of all things. It reminds us, you may surely come just as you are, but thank God Almighty, He will not leave you as you are. In fact, notice here that even the curse appears to be completely removed. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. It's as if Genesis 3:15 has been all played out. Do you remember Genesis 3:15? After the great temptation, and God says to the serpent, there will always be enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and you will crush his heel and he will crush your head. It's like that's all played out. Serpents are either all pacified or they are gone. Whatever the case, the rod of Jesse has won. And surprise, notice there in verse 9 that this new Eden is now Mount Zion. But more than that, it is not just Mount Zion, this new Eden, but surprise of all surprises, Mount Zion has now become the whole transformed world. Verse 9, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Being pictured for us, yes, is personal, new creation, but even bigger than that is also being laid out and pictured for us, corporate new creation, tribal new creation, cosmic new creation. So verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Oh yes. Oh come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. And our Advent carol assures us that our prayers are being heard and will be answered. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. And so, dear friends, in that verse, that third verse of that carol, and from this passage, I can clearly say that those who have been made at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the rod of Jesse, are freed. Freed now to become His peacemakers among warring family members. To become peacemakers among warring church members. Can become peacemakers among warring tribes. Can become peacemakers among warring races. And we can joyfully desire and will joyfully desire to see that love and peace flowing in all creation. I love in the prelude, in the prelude of the services, the choir was singing, they sang this verse, "Oh, happy towns and blessed lands, that live by their true king's commands. And blessed be the hearts he rules, the humble places where he dwells. He is the rightful son of bliss who fills our lives and makes us his. Creator of the world, our only strength for good. And so, brothers, sisters, older and younger, we sing rightly this verse in our Advent carol. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell, thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Now let me just take a minute and come back at verse 3. The last question on the back of the sermon notes is always going to be through the series, how can you engage this verse, whatever the verse is we're looking at? How can you engage this verse this week? Let me make it as clear as I can. O come, thou rod of Jesse. Notice that right up front, as you say those words, you are praying. You are invoking God. You are begging this one who was born that night in Bethlehem to come, and to come again, and to come and fill out to the fullest all of his promises in Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. O come, thou rod of Jesse. But then you go on to say, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free. You are asking him to liberate, to emancipate, to break chains, and to shatter shackles. Whose? Yours, mine, and everybody else's. You're asking him to break those chains and shackles. Well, what chains and shackles? Glad you asked, because I want to tell you. It's the rest of that song, that verse. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Satan's tyranny? Well, what's that? You ever heard of temptation? Some people walk with temptation in a way that is oppressive. Temptation, domination, subjugation. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Secondly, from depths of hell thy people save. Well, I thought Jesus already did that for those whom he loved. He saved us from that eternal hell that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Yes, praise the Lord. But dear friends, that hell shows up here on earth on occasion. My friends, hell itself can be felt and experienced in so many ways. And I say this with all gentleness. Some mental illnesses feel like hell. From depths of hell, thy people say. Some marriages and relationships are crippled and cruel and are a living hell. Save from depths of hell, thy people say. Most often, addictions are that way. I've sat with many people. When I was in the Air Force for that 20 years and running a correctional facility dealing with alcoholics, and since being out of the military and dealing with others of all kinds of addictions, somewhere in the pattern of the addiction, most of them have this kind of dawning moment of, oh, I'm killing myself, I'm destroying my family, my world is falling apart, this is hell. And then they immediately go and pacify themselves and medicate. But it does, they do see it. From the depths of hell, thy people say. Social unraveling and brutality. I'm just thinking of Cameroon, for example. We have a friend from our church whose family's in Cameroon. Sudan. Iraq. From the depths of hell, thy people say. Thirdly, and give them victory o'er the grave. Oh, brothers and sisters, let your hearts run with that phrase. The dust of death has settled heavy on all creation and all of our lives to where we are all gagging with it. Everything that happens, you got cancer? It's all part of the curse. And what was the curse in the end? And the day that you eat of the fruit, you will die. Your marriage fall apart. It's all part of death. Your job tank. You no longer have a job. You're now unemployed. You can't get employed again. It's all part of that death. Your childhood slaughtered in abuse. It's all part of that death. And so can we pray that prayer and give them victory over the grave? From the depths of hell, my people save and give them victory over the grave. Let your mind and heart run with that phrase. And then look up and be encouraged. For we are heard and we will be answered. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And that, my friends, is guaranteed to us in the rod of Jesse, who died for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. As it is all displayed here in the Lord's Supper. Here's the one who in his life and his death and his burial, his resurrection and his ascension has taken away from us, I said this the other day, has taken away from us the penalty of sin. Praise the Lord. Has broken the power of sin. Praise the Lord. Has humbled the pride of sin. Praise the Lord. And when He returns, is that what we're praying for in this carol? Yes. And when He returns, we'll remove completely the presence of sin. Is that who you trust in? Is that who you believe in? Do you believe in your heart that this Jesus died for your transgressions and was raised for your justification? You've confessed Him with your mouth that He is Lord. You are part of His church. You've been baptized with water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If that's you, then we invite you to come with us and take of this bread and wine. And as we prepare for this communion, let's sing that third verse in our carol. We're going to sing it a cappella. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, He broke it, and He gave it to them, and He said, take, this is my body.